You'll take your scriptures in hand and turn with me to John chapter 15. In just a moment, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 15. We're continuing our series this morning, Ready, Set, Serve. And this morning's message is titled, I Love to Serve, I Love to Serve. Chuck Swindoll, in one of his books, tells this true story about a young man that he calls Aaron. Aaron is not his real name, but it's the name that he used in telling the story in the book. And Aaron was preparing for his summer vacation from Bible college. And as summer was approaching, he was praying that God would open a door of ministry for him in some church where he could serve and where he could make a real difference for the kingdom of God. But as summer got closer and closer, no door seemed to be opening. And so the young man, needing to earn money over the summer to pay his bills in the upcoming semester, took a job as a bus driver in Chicago. And after he received his training, he was given a route in one of the most crime-infested areas in Chicago. And every day, a group of young thugs would get on his bus, refuse to pay, ignore his warnings, make smart comments to him and to other passengers, and harass people that were riding on the bus. And then eventually, they would just get off when they felt like it and never paid their fare. Finally, one morning, he decided he had just had enough. And so shortly after the gang of young men got on the bus, Aaron saw a police car and he pulled over, got off, told the cop what was happening. The cop got on the bus and the cop forced the boys to pay their fare. Well, the problem is that then the cop got off the bus and Aaron had to get back on the bus in order to drive it. So after they'd gone a few blocks, the boys attacked him, beat him up, and stole all of his money. So bruised and bloodied, Aaron went home with anger and resentment in his heart. He filed a police report, and many of the witnesses on the bus corroborated his statements. And so as a result, most of the boys ended up being arrested. The trial came, the boys pleaded guilty, and Aaron suddenly felt an overwhelming sense of love and compassion for them rather than the anger and resentment that he had been feeling. When it came time for sentencing, Aaron was to give his victim statement. But instead, he stood up to the podium and he said, Your Honor, I'd like you to total up all the days of punishment against these men, all the time that they will be sentenced to. And I request that you would allow me to go to jail in their place. The judge was dumbfounded. He was speechless. For a moment, he didn't seem to know what to do. And then finally, he regained his composure and he firmly said, Young man, you're out of order. That sort of thing has never been done before. To which the young man, with the wisdom of God, said, Oh, yes, it has, Your Honor. Oh, yes, it has. It happened almost 2,000 years ago when a man from Galilee paid the penalty that all mankind deserved. And then for the next 3 or 4 minutes, without interruption, he had the attention of the entire courtroom as he explained how Jesus Christ went to the cross on our behalf. And he paid the penalty, taking the punishment that we deserved in order to demonstrate God's love towards us and in order to extend God's forgiveness to us. The judge didn't grant Aaron's request, but after the trial, Aaron went and visited the gang members in jail and ended up leading almost every one of them to faith in Christ. And he began a significant ministry in South Chicago. The very thing that he had prayed for opened up before him, and God gave him an opportunity to serve in a significant way that made a difference for the kingdom of God. Through the pain and assault that Aaron suffered, he learned the crucial lesson of what it really means to serve others. Jesus is our supreme example in John 13. He washed the disciples' feet, a passage of scripture we looked at a couple weeks ago. Jesus did a job that no one else wanted to do, an act that symbolized how he would soon give his life on the cross of Calvary to serve all of mankind. And in verses 14 and 15 of that chapter, he said, If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet, for I've given you an example that you should do as I have done. Jesus wasn't saying that we literally needed to wash one another's feet, but that we needed to follow his example of servanthood. We need to serve one another. And if he is our Lord and Master, as he just said in verse 14, if he's truly the Lord of our life, we will live like he lived. We will live a life of service to others. If Jesus is reigning in us, our lives will be characterized by service. If self is reigning, then we're going to be characterized by self-interest. We're only going to be looking to the things that concern us. We're going to be serving self. But if Christ is reigning in us, then our life is going to be characterized by service to others. The disciples, they weren't really eagerly fighting over serving one another. They weren't fighting over who would take the towel and basin and wash one another's feet, but they were fighting over who would have positions of leadership and power in the kingdom of God, who would get to sit on Jesus' right hand and on his left. And unfortunately, just like the disciples, most people in churches today are not lining up to serve, but they are rather lining up to be served. Much of our resistance to becoming a servant comes from our selfishness, our self-interest. But a lot of it also comes from our concept of servanthood. The word servant carries a very negative connotation in many of our understandings. It smacks of subjugation, of duty, of obligation, of a burden, of having to be forced to do something, of having to do the will of another person when we don't really want to do it. It carries the idea of something that is menial, something that is undesirable, something that lacks respect, something that we do because we have no other option. But these perceptions could not be further from the truth. These are worldly perceptions of what it means to serve. But servanthood is an attribute that is highly valued in the kingdom of God. In John 15, Jesus addresses these wrong perceptions, and he reveals the true nature of servanthood in God's kingdom. Read with me, if you will, John 15, beginning in verse 1. I'm going to read fast, so you listen quick. We're short on time because we wanted to give time for the Holy Spirit to move. So for that reason, I'm going to read quickly. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will bear even more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken unto you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be full or complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known unto you. Now, as we read this passage of scripture, I want us to remember that they are still at the Last Supper. And Jesus had just finished washing their feet and teaching them that he was setting an example of servanthood for them and that they needed to follow his example. So Jesus is continuing to teach about serving others. And in this passage, he reveals to us three vital truths about being a servant that will change our perception of servanthood and cause us to say, I love to serve. I love to serve. The first truth that he reveals to us is the source of our service. The source of our service. Being a servant flows out of our friendship, our relationship with Christ. Christ's love for us is the source of our service. In verse 13, he said, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. Jesus laid his life down for us. No one has ever or will ever love us the way that Christ loved for us. Are people just falling down dead around you because they just want to die for you? No. Has anybody ever died for you? No. No one has ever or will ever love us the way that Christ has. He willingly gave his life on the cross for us, the greatest act of love possible. And when we truly experience that love, when that love becomes a reality in our life because we have met Christ, because we have received Christ, when we experience the salvation that he has purchased for us with his life, our heart begins to overflow with love and gratitude towards him, and that becomes the source out of which our service flows. Because I love Jesus. I remember when I accepted Christ, I was 11 years old, and I was just so overwhelmed with God's love towards me that I just couldn't wait to do something for him. I just wanted to serve him in whatever way I could. And shortly thereafter, I took over leadership of a children's church program in the church where I was, and I started helping with Bible quiz, and I even started preaching when I was 16 years old. I just wanted to do so much for Jesus because he loved me so much. Let me tell you something. Because I love Jesus and I am so grateful for what he's done for me, I just want to do his will. I just want to serve him. I just want to do something for him. I just want to do anything for him. I want to advance his purpose. I want to glorify his name. It's not a duty. It's not a burden for me to serve. It's a privilege that I get the honor of serving him. Hallelujah. I love to serve. Do you? You see, Christ's love for us is the source of our service, and Christ's friendship is the source of our service. In this passage, Jesus speaks a lot about being friends with him, of our friendship with him. Verse 13, no greater love has anyone than this, that one would lay down his life for a friend. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Verse 15, I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends. We don't deserve to be called his friends. He didn't call us friends because we're so lovable, we're so adorable, we're so likable, we're so nice. No, we were his enemies. We were in sin, we were his enemies, but he set his love upon us. He said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. He set his love upon us. He gave his life for us, and his friendship is a gift to us. It is the greatest gift that we can receive. And the evidence that we are reciprocating his friendship is that we do what he commands. And what did he just command us to do? As I have served you, as I have washed your feet, you ought also to serve one another. He just commanded us to serve. And he said, if you're my friends, if you're reciprocating this friendship, you're going to do what I commanded you to do. But he doesn't want our obedience to his will to be a burden or a requirement. He doesn't want us to serve him out of duty or out of obligation. He chooses to relate to us at a much deeper level. He says, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. How many of you think it's a deeper relationship to be a friend than to be a servant? Amen? When you're a servant, your master or your boss doesn't generally go around and tell you their secrets or their plans or their ambitions for the future. You think of it as an employee. The president of your company doesn't ordinarily come around unless you're a high up in your company. But they don't normally come around and sit down at your desk and shoot the breeze with you and say, I just want to tell you what's on my heart. I just want to tell you what I see as the future of this company and where I think we ought to be. Most heads of companies don't do that with their employees. How many of you know what I'm saying? The president might sit around a table with his VPs, and he might say it to his VPs, but he doesn't normally come around to the desk of Mr. No Name, I'm nobody, I don't have any big title, and do that. See, because you're just the hired help. See, but Jesus says, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. Jesus chooses to relate to us, not as in a master-servant relationship. Of course, make no mistake about it, he is still master, and we are still servant. But he chooses not to relate to us on the basis of a master-servant relationship. He elevates us to the position of friends. And when you're friends with someone, friends share their heart with one another. They share their hopes, their dreams, their ambitions in the same way that Jesus shares his heart with us. And he says, everything the Father has given me, I'm sharing it with you. I'm sharing it with you. So he's sharing the Father's heart. He's sharing the Father's plans. He's sharing the Father's purposes with us. And as his friends, we experience a much deeper level of intimacy and trust than we could ever know in a relationship with a master and a slave. See, when you do something for a friend, you don't generally do it out of duty or obligation, do you? When you do something for a friend, you generally do it out of love. You do it out of the care that you have for that person. So if they ask a favor or if you see a need, you step up and you do it because you care about that person. You love that person. And when Jesus is our friend, we don't step up to serve out of duty or obligation, but because he's our friend, we love him and we want to do what pleases him. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is our friend, we love to serve. You know, he started this chapter, he moved into talking about friendship, but he started talking about another relationship, the relationship of the vine and the branches. And as the branches are connected to the vine, the life-giving sap flows from the vine into the branches, and that enables the branches to produce fruit. In the same way, he said, when we remain in his love, when we remain vitally connected in relationship to him, his life is flowing through us. And the same life that is in the vine or in the root is the same life that should be in the branches and in the fruit. You see, if it's a grapevine, it's not going to produce oranges at the end of the branches. How many of you know that? See? Because the same life that is in the vine is going to flow into the branches and it's going to be manifested in the fruit. That means that the branches are going to produce fruit in keeping with the nature of the vine. It is the life, it is the nature of the vine being manifested in the fruit. Jesus is the vine. What is the nature of the vine? He said, I'm a servant. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. What is the nature of the vine? The vine is a servant. And so if his life is flowing through us, then his nature will be manifested in us, which means that we will be living lives of service. Service. He's going to be living through me. His life is going to be flowing through me. And that's going to be manifested in the fruit of servanthood. It's not going to be something that I have to force myself to do. Amen? I have a neighbor in the back that he has two huge avocado trees. I love avocados. Amen? And I'm always praying that let the fruit God fall on this side of the fence. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But something I've noticed about those avocado trees. You know, I've never once looked out my backsliding doors and seen those avocado trees straining and saying, I gotta produce fruit. I gotta produce fruit. There it is, an avocado. No. The life is flowing through into the branches and it's laden with avocados. Boy, you could be in guacamole heaven with the amount of avocados that are out there. It's just laden with avocados. And it doesn't strive. It doesn't force to produce fruit. It's the nature of what is flowing through the branches that produces the fruit. And when Christ's life is flowing through us, we don't have to, I gotta serve. I gotta, pastor said I gotta serve. I gotta find something to do in the church. No. It flows out of us. And if we're not bearing the fruit of servanthood, then there's a disconnect in the relationship. The branch has gotten cut off from or separated from the vine if we're not bearing servanthood. If we're not bearing the fruit of service. If we're not bearing the fruit of servanthood, then we are dead wood. That's what Jesus said. The branch is cut off. It's dead. It's going to end up being burned. So if we're not bearing the fruit of servanthood, we are dead wood. Look at that. I made a rhyme. Amen. Everybody write that down. It might be worth something. We're dead wood. The connection between the vine and the branch is broken. If we are connected to the vine, his life is going to flow through us. And it's going to be manifested in servanthood. So let me ask you, how's your fruit? How's your fruit? Are you bearing the much fruit of service? Are you serving in the church? Are you serving your brothers or sisters in Christ? Are you encouraging those that are downcast? Are you calling on those that you haven't seen in church? Are you giving a ride to someone who can't make it to the doctor because they don't have a car? Or maybe you're taking a meal to someone who is in need. When was the last time that you just did an act of kindness for a neighbor, a coworker, a stranger, someone in the grocery store, someone that would never pay you back? When was the last time? And if not, why not? Maybe we need to check our connection with Christ. Because if we are connected to the vine, we're going to be bearing much fruit, the fruit of servanthood. I don't have to go around saying, I got to serve, I got to find something to do. It didn't always, but now it flows naturally for me. If I'm in Publix and I see somebody with their arm in a cast, what do? I offer to put their groceries on the belt for them. The other day, there was a lady in one of those little mobility carts. She was trying to reach something on the shelf. And I went over and I said, ma'am, can I help you? And I offered to serve. Another time, somebody was having a difficulty unloading their groceries in the parking. I seem to be at the grocery a lot. Unloading their groceries in the parking lot. And I packed them in their vehicle for them. And you just see opportunities to serve. And it becomes natural for you when the life of the one who is the chief servant is flowing through you. It becomes natural for you. When Christ's life flows through you, you love to serve because he is the ultimate servant. I love to serve. Do you love to serve? And then that's the source of our service. Let's talk a moment about the motive of our service. The motive of our service is the love for Christ, our love for Christ. You are my friends if you say amen to what I command you. Is that what your Bible said? You are my friends if you listen to a sermon on what I have commanded you. No, he said, you are my friends if you do what I've commanded you. If you do. What he's saying is, you know, the natural byproduct of being my friend, of being in a love relationship with me, is that you're going to be doing what I've asked you to do. You're going to be serving. You know, one of the primary reasons people drop out of serving is that they're serving from the wrong motivation. Some people serve out of duty or obligation. Bless God, Pastor Maria has been preaching for 6 weeks on servanthood. I better do something just to get her to shut up. I better volunteer and do something in the church. You know, and so we volunteer and we get back there. We say, I'm gonna volunteer to teach Sunday school for those snotty-nosed little rugrats. So ornery, don't have no respect for people no more. I don't know what these parents' problem is. They don't teach their kids right. And so we go back there and we're back there for a few weeks. Until Pastor Maria starts preaching about something else. And she forgets about little old us. And then we go to the Sunday school superintendent and we get all spiritual. I don't feel from the Lord that this is my ministry. Hallelujah. Untie my bow tie. Praise you, Jesus. You know? Or we come up with some other reasonably sounding excuse. You know, the demands at work have changed. And I just have so many, you know, and we come up with all these, and we quit. Some people serve out of embarrassment. Bless God, the pastor came up and asked me to be involved in this ministry. How could I say no to the pastor? But in a few weeks when she forgets and I'm out of her scope, I've just weaned my way out of that ministry. Or some people serve out of guilt, you know. Somebody came up to him and told him, you know, we don't have anybody to teach those teenage boys back there, and we need somebody to work with the teenage boys, and, you know, and they guilted us into it. You know, but after a while, the guilt wears down, and we say, let somebody else do it. You know, let somebody else deal with this headache, you know. The reason people quit is because they're not serving out of the motive of love for Christ. When we serve out of love for Christ, we don't become weary in well-doing. I've been in full-time ministry for over 30 years now. I preach 3 times a week. I teach other classes, like I'm going to be teaching the Ministry Institute coming up. I lead leadership meetings. I'm constantly teaching. I'm constantly preaching. I'm constantly doing ministry. But I don't come in here and say, oh, my goodness, it's Sunday again. I got to preach another sermon. Oh, woe is me. I love to serve 30 years in full-time ministry, and I'm still going strong for Jesus. I'm still passionate about ministry. Why? Because I'm not doing it out of duty. I'm not doing it out of obligation. I'm doing it because I love Jesus. I love to serve. Do you? I pray that I'll be preaching when Jesus comes for me. I don't intend on quitting. I don't intend on retiring. I intend on refiring and keeping on going. Amen? I want to be preaching when Jesus comes for me. I love to serve. Do you? Serving out of love for Christ releases a divine energy in our life. That divine energy is called the presence of the Holy Spirit. And as the presence of the Holy Spirit flows in us while we're serving, it releases a passion. It kindles our heart with a fire for God that does not blow out, does not go out. And it causes us to say, I love to serve. We have some people in this church. They've been teaching Sunday school for 22 years, and their heart is passionate about teaching those children. I'm so grateful for those people that are faithful. We have some people that have been singing in the worship team for years, some people that have been working in the children's ministry for years, and they're still passionate. Why? Because they're doing it out of love for Christ, and because they love Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit is flowing in them and keeping that fire burning brightly in their heart. So the motive for our service is our love for Christ, and secondly, our love for others. Jesus said, my command is this, that you love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for his friends. Our secondary motivation for service is love for others. I see parents all the time serving their children. They're chauffeuring their children back and forth to soccer and baseball and cheerleading and basket weaving 101 and school activities and whatever else it might be. They're cooking dinner for them. They're washing their clothes. They're helping them with homework. They're doing all of these things and countless other tasks daily. And often they're sacrificing of themselves and things that they might want to do for themselves. And often with very little appreciation, because most children don't turn around and say, "Oh, thank you so much for doing my laundry. Oh, thank you so much, for helping with my homework." If your children do that, hallelujah, praise God, you've got little angels, amen? They're just ready to go to be with Jesus. They're so perfect. But, you know, most children don't do that. But yet still I see these parents serve year after year, day after day, week after week, amen? And they don't say, "Bless God, what a burden it is to do this for my... It's such a burden to take them to school. It's such a burden to cook for them. It's such a burden." They don't do that. Why? They do it faithfully. It's not to say that sometimes they don't get tired. And it's not to say that sometimes they don't get frustrated with their kids. Amen? But yet still, they do it faithfully and they do it joyfully. Why? What keeps them doing it for so long? One word. Love. Love. And when we love others, we will serve faithfully and we will serve joyfully. And you will be willing to sacrifice of yourself for the sake of others, even if they might not appreciate it at the moment. Just like Jesus, most people didn't appreciate, and even most people still don't appreciate his sacrifice. But he still gave his sacrifice on behalf of the sins of the world. I love to serve because I love Jesus and I love others. Do you love to serve? And then thirdly, let's look at the reward for our service. Verse 11, "I've told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy might be full or complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you." What I want us to see and what Jesus is telling us here is that a life of service is a satisfying life. It completes our life. It makes our life full. I was reading an article by Eric Swanson titled, "What You Get From Giving." And there was a survey that was conducted among church people to see the correlation between serving or ministering and their satisfaction with their spiritual life. 58% of those who were not actively involved in ministering or serving said that they were not at all satisfied with their spiritual life, or that they were only somewhat satisfied. They were experiencing boredom. You know, they had kind of lost interest. The fire had kind of gone out inside of them. These are 58% of people that were not serving said they were not satisfied with their spiritual life. Do you know in that survey who expressed the highest level of satisfaction and fulfillment in their spiritual life? Those that were actively involved in ministry. When you're actively involved in ministry, there is nothing more satisfying than to know that your life is purposeful for something that is of eternal value. There is nothing more satisfying than when God uses you to touch someone's life, to bring someone to salvation, to disciple someone, to help someone grow in their walk with God, to see them flourish in the Lord and take off. And this past week, I was contacted on Facebook by someone, and they were giving me the report of a young lady that grew up in this church. Some 20 years ago, she came and she got saved and got discipled, and she was involved here in youth ministry and what have you. She went off to college. She ended up getting involved in Chi Alpha ministry, and now her and her husband are helping to plant a church. Judith Brown, some of you who've been with us for a long time might remember her. She is now helping to plant a church in Georgia, and it was just so thrilling to see where she started from as a young girl in her teens who came and found Christ here, and to know that God used us to be a small part of that. Or recently to see one of our young ladies that used to sing in our worship team, Nicole Cortez, many of you might remember her, and she, when she was about 11 or 12, came and she received Jesus Christ as Savior at these altars. She got called to the ministry at these altars. She got baptized in the Holy Ghost at these altars. She began her ministry singing in our worship team as a teenager right here on this platform. And now to see that she has graduated Bible college, she's married a young man who is in pastoral ministry, and the two of them just accepted a pastoral ministry position in the Orlando area. And it brings just such great joy to my heart to say, God, what an incredible privilege it is to have been a part of that young woman's life. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. It brings such joy. It brings such fulfillment to know that God is using us to touch somebody's life. If you're bored, if the fire has gone out in your spiritual walk, if it's just kind of lackadaisical, oh, well, I'm a Christian, I'm supposed to go to church. Maybe it's because you're not in ministry. Maybe it's because you're not investing your life for Christ and making a difference in the lives of others. Because Jesus tells us that that is the route to having a full or a complete life. Hallelujah. Secondly, a life of service is a joy-filled life. There is no greater joy than serving the Lord and seeing God use you to minister to others. There's few things that compare to the joy of knowing that you have done something good for the Lord, that you have touched somebody's life. The scripture says, it is more blessed to receive than it is to give. I don't hear any objections. That means some people have not been reading their Bible. That's not at all what the Bible says. The Bible says it is more blessed to give. When we serve, we are giving of ourselves. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. This past yesterday, actually, I celebrated my mother's 84th birthday and my niece's almost 13th birthday. She'll be 13 in a few days. But Mom and I got my niece a gift that she had kind of asked for several weeks ago, because she knows how to drop her little hints when an occasion is coming up. And so she was talking about this thing called a bamboo sketch pad. She's very much into art. She draws beautifully and loves anything that has to do with art. So she wanted this bamboo sketch pad, which is something that you plug into the computer and you use a stylus and you draw on this, and then the stuff shows up on the computer and all what have you. She even emailed me the link to Amazon.com so I could see what it was. Hallelujah. Made it so very convenient to purchase it. Amen. So yesterday, when she opened her gift, I mean, she screamed and almost jumped out of her chair. And she was like, Tata, this is just what I wanted. And I thought, how did I know? You know. But as excited as she was, Mom and I were even more excited to be able to give her something that she wanted and brought so much delight to her. You see, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And it brings great joy. See, you all know the joy of giving something or doing something for someone that you love. Amen? It brings you great joy when you can give something to someone that you love or do something for someone that you love. There is no greater joy. And that's the way ministry is. When we are serving Jesus and when we are serving others, there is no greater joy. Even the simplest of things, even something that might seem insignificant to you, it might just make such a difference in someone's life. You know, someone contacted me on Facebook this past week. I preached a campus revival at one of our Assembly God colleges several years ago, actually going back about 18 years ago. And a young man who is now a missionary contacted me and said, Pastor Maria, he said, I still remember the message that you preached and what a difference it made in my life. I don't know that young man. I had no idea, how it had impacted him or touched him. But it brought me such great joy. It brought me such great joy to know that God had been able to use me to touch someone's life. You know, Paul said this in writing to the Thessalonian church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. He was talking about how he laid his life down for them because he loved them and he did it gladly. And this is what he said. He said, you are my crown and my joy. You are my rejoicing to be able to present you pleasing and acceptable before God. Church, I love you, and you are my crown and my joy and my rejoicing to one day be able to present you pleasing and acceptable before the Lord and say, God, these are the ones you entrusted to me, and I have kept them, and here they are for you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What a joy it is to minister to you. What a privilege. And I think that if you ask most of our people that minister around here, whether they teach a Sunday school class or they teach children's church or they keep the nursery, we have such wonderful workers around here that most of them do it. And if they're not doing it out of it, I don't know about them. But most of them do it out of love. And they find it a joy to be doing. Sometimes they come and they're sharing with me ideas of, oh, Pastor, we want to do this and we think this would be really great. And you can see the passion and the enthusiasm inside of them for what they're doing. Because when you're serving out of love for Christ and love for others, there is no greater joy than being a vessel that God can use to touch someone's life. I love to serve. Do you? See, when we have truly experienced His love, when we have truly experienced, not just heard about it, not just gone to church and it's some kind of religious experience, but I'm talking about we have truly experienced His love in our life that brought us to salvation, that brought us into a friendship with Him. It is our joy to reciprocate, to return that love by doing what pleases Him. And it pleases Him for us to love and to serve others. And that keeps us loving to serve. Loving to serve. And this week, instead of just responding to an altar call and praying, you know, make me a servant, Lord, or I want to serve, Lord, or swaying back and forth to a song and saying, use me, Lord, use me, Lord. We're going to make a commitment this morning. You see, Jesus said, you are my friends if you do. If you do. Not if you listen to, not if you say amen, not if you hear a sermon on, but if you do my commands. So if we're going to reciprocate His love, if we're going to reciprocate His friendship, then it has to be reciprocated in action. It has to be reciprocated in action. So this week, when we respond to an altar call, we're going to be committing ourselves to do a tangible act of service this week. For some, that tangible act of service might be to volunteer for a ministry. If you're already involved in a ministry, praise God, hallelujah. For all of us, those tangible acts of service are also outside of these walls, where we can buy somebody who is downcast or struggling a cup of coffee and be a listening ear to them and give them a word of encouragement. Or maybe there's an elderly person in our neighborhood that needs help getting to the grocery or getting their groceries, and you can help them do that. Whatever it might be. But we're going to say today, Lord, I commit myself that this week I'm going to put feet to my faith. I'm not just going to listen to a message and say amen and go home, but I'm actually going to do what you're calling me to do. And that's going to be our response this morning. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord God, and we just thank you for your word, because your word is truth. And your word teaches us what it means to live for you, Lord God, what it is that you require of us, oh God. And Father, we pray this morning that we would receive your word with an openness of heart. That we would not allow our flesh to put up objections and walls, Lord God. But this morning, with an open heart, we would receive the truth of your word. And that we would be ready to respond and to say, yes, Lord, I am ready to do your commands. I am ready to serve. And this very week, I'm going to take action to serve. Father, I pray that you would deal with each and every one of our hearts. And you will bring us to that place of commitment to action, the action of serving. Father, have your way in our midst this morning, in Jesus' name, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Before we can even talk about serving the Lord, we have to start with our relationship with Him, because service flows out of relationship or friendship with Jesus. And the only way that we can have a relationship with Him is to come to Him in faith and say, Lord, I believe. See, you may have heard about Jesus many times before, may have heard that he died on the cross, rose again the third day, and in your mind, you might even agree it to be true. But if you personally have not responded in faith to that truth, then it means nothing for you, absolutely nothing. And so the beginning of a relationship with Christ starts by responding to him in faith and saying, Jesus, I believe. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you love me so much that you died for me. And today I confess that I'm a sinner and I repent. I turn away from my sinful lifestyle and I turn to you. And I invite you to come and live inside of me and be the Lord of my life, to help me from this day forward to live for you. That's what Jesus described as being born again. It's the beginning of a relationship with him, just like the word birth or born signifies that it is the beginning of life. It is the beginning of life in relationship with God. We sometimes call it being saved, because it talks about the fact that we're saved from our sin and the punishment that it deserves. But today, if you're here, the first step to living a life that is pleasing and honoring to him, the first step to living a life that does his command, is by entering into relationship with him. And if you're here today and you say, pray for me, Pastor, I want to come to Jesus. I want to be his friend. I want to have a relationship with him. I want to know that my sins are forgiven, that he's living inside of me, and that he calls me his friend. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up and say, pray for me, Pastor. I want to come to Jesus this morning. Maybe it's the first time. Maybe it's the first time in a long time. Maybe you gave your heart to Christ many years ago, but you've drifted away and you know you need to come back. Is there anyone this morning? Just slip your hand up. Say, pray for me, Pastor. Hallelujah. I'm going to assume then that we are all Christians here, and I'm going to speak to you right now. I want to ask you if you have received his word this morning and you are ready to do it. You have a heart to obey, to not just hear his word, but like he said, you are my friends if you do my command. If you're here today and you say, Jesus, I am your friend, and I'm ready to do. I'm ready to put feet to my faith. I'm ready to put into action the truth that we've been learning about servanthood, the truth that Jesus has been teaching us about servanthood, then I want to invite you to come to this altar today and say, Lord, I commit that this very week I'm going to act upon the truth that I've been hearing. Because to be a hearer of the word only means nothing. It benefits us nothing. We can hear his word and go to hell, but it is obedience to his word that is the fruit or the evidence of our relationship with him. And so I want to encourage you to come to this altar this morning and say, Jesus, this week I'm going to act on what I've been hearing. This week I'm going to put into action the truth of servanthood in my life. For some of us, that might mean volunteering for ministry if we're not already involved in ministry in the church. For all of us, it means serving outside of these walls. People in our job, people in our neighborhood, people at the store looking for opportunity to serve and make the love of Christ real in their life. Hallelujah. Every Christian ought to be at this altar if the connection with Jesus is there. If the connection is broken, then we're deadwood. But if the connection is vital, then we'll be walking in servanthood. Whether at this altar, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for your truth. Thank you that your truth transforms, that your truth is alive and it's powerful. And Father, we pray that your truth would change our hearts, Lord God, and give us the heart of Christ, a heart of servanthood, Lord God. Shape your heart in us, O God. And Father, this morning as we stand before you, Lord God, we commit ourselves to you, not to pastor, not to the church, but to you, that we are going to be doers of the truth that we have heard, Lord God. And Father, that this very week we're going to put into action the truth that we have received, O God, and we're going to step up to serve, Lord Jesus. Father, we commit ourselves to you today. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's